Good evening and welcome to Word on Wine, a program which explores the history and culture of the world's favorite beverage. I'm Jonathan Pilevsky. Joining me in the studio, WBJC's Mary Zajac. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening, Jonathan.
So, WBJC had the recent trip to Florence and Venice.
Yes, how wonderful.
I'm not a big Sangiovese fan, so we're going to talk about Venice. And what's available in the Veneto.
I can't believe you're not a big Sangiovese fan after having been to Florence.
You know, I'm a big fan of Florence. I'm working on Sangiovese. But let's talk about what's available in the Veneto.
Tell me.
So first off, in terms of white wines, you have Prosecco, which we've discussed on a previous Word on Wine. Mm-hmm. And Prosecco is the great sparkling wine from there. But you also have a wine called Fragolino, which is made out of strawberries. Instead of having Vinsanto, which you would dip in biscotti, you have this wine made out of strawberries, which was incredible for dessert, dipped in various little Venetian cookies.
That sounds lovely.
I've tried to order some. I'm working on it. Hopefully it'll appear one of these years.
It's not sparkling. Is it fortified?
No, it is sort of. It has a little frizzante to it.
Oh, nice.
And quite delicious. I liked it a lot. Also, of course, you have Amarone from the Veneto, which is maybe the king of these fantastic wines with these grapes that are put on mats and allowed to dry and is very deep and fantastic.
So they almost become raisins and then they're pressed.
Unbelievable. And of course, this is also the place where you find Pinot Grigio and all of its various incarnations.
Did you find Pinot Grigio that you liked? Because we tend to think of it as kind of a dull white wine, generic. It's sort of white wine, quote unquote.
So here's the interesting thing about wine when you're in Italy. A lot of it is being served, you know, out of spigots, as it were, and you're drinking wine from pitchers and you're having wine with your meal, and chances are it's Pinot Grigio and it's all good and it's very light and really kind of fabulous and probably sells for about $3 a bottle.
Right. And it has a lot to do with context, too. We've talked about this before.
Absolutely.
How you're in a beautiful area, you're having a good time, you're with good company, you're eating good food, and certainly bad wine will stand out, but things taste good in that setting.
You're in Venice. There's a reason Venice is the most over-visited place in the world, and that is because it is a very unique part of the world, and there's a lot to see. Tremendous art, really good and interesting food, tremendous architecture, a city that was really left alone more or less in the 19th century, and there's some incredible things to look at there. And go in January, I think, is the best time to go when it's a little colder and maybe a little less overrun. But even at the time we went in May, there was still no lack of interesting things to eat and drink and see and experience if you went just, you know, a few steps away from the enormous amounts of crowds, you could find something interesting to look at and to experience. The Veneto makes some really interesting wines. Also, by the way, this is the home of the Aperol Spritz, which has taken over the world. It's also the home of the Bellini cocktail, named after not Vincenzo Bellini, the composer, but Giovanni Bellini, the painter, the Renaissance painter, whose art is pretty spectacular, actually.
That's a wonderful report.
I couldn't resist sharing a little bit of Venice with you.
Thank you.
I can't wait to go back. I have to say, it made a profound impression. Crazy and overcrowded as it is special. For Word on Wine, I'm Jonathan Pilevsky.
I'm Mary Zajac.
Cheers.